Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Are you having trouble making the changes you're trying to make in your family actually stick? Well, today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 29, is titled, How to Create Lasting Change in Families. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you've always dreamed of. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, come to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. Please remember this is an educational podcast, not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Today, we're answering a question from Marissa of Seattle, Washington. Marissa writes, we've got two boys, 8 and 10, and the 10-year-old has ADHD. Life with them both is a constant battle. Our 10-year-old takes most of our energy up, but then our 8-year-old is starting to challenge us as well. Getting out of the house in the morning, getting things straightened up, getting them off the devices, homework, back talk, they're all issues we're dealing with. I've tried lots of things to create change, make lists, been more positive, offer rewards, take away devices, but nothing lasts. My husband helps, but he's a firefighter, so when he's gone, I'm on my own. And when he's home, it takes him a day to catch up on sleep. And then he does help because he does activities with the kids, but he has the same challenges I do when it comes to getting cooperation. Am I missing something? I can't seem to get any of the techniques to work. Marissa. It sounds like every day is a battle, and that's not good for anybody. So thanks for checking in, and let's see what we can figure out. First of all, you're no doubt in some degree of parental burnout. That's inevitably what happens when you work hard at something you care about that continually fails. So you're going to need to acknowledge that you're in burnout, and you have to take some downtime and get some support, and I hope mine helps, and maybe we can get some perspective and a better approach so that you'll be able to recover. So here's what I'm hearing you telling me. You're telling me that you have an ADHD son who's been challenging to raise, and now between he and his younger brother, you're having a lot of trouble getting cooperation for movement in the right direction. You're trying lots of things that should work, and yet nothing does. So we might ask the question, how do we create effective and lasting change? Well, that's a great question. So let's address it. And once we do, see if we can apply it in your situation and get you out of the rut you clearly are in. Well, let's look at two different kinds of change. One kind of change is a big shift. In a big shift, we're saying goodbye to the old and welcoming in the new. Instead of going for small incremental improvements where we might be trying a new technique, we are changing the whole paradigm. We're thinking big. All right. Now, the other kind of change we might call baby steps or small incremental steps to reach our goal. They seem opposite, don't they? Do we go big or go small? Well, believe it or not, there really is an answer to this question. And the answer is, well, we always have to go small. In other words, we should always be making small incremental changes in our lives. We should always be learning, growing, and changing. And whether it's what we're doing at work or we're doing at home or how we're playing the piano or how we're engaging our relationships, we always need to be growing and changing. And if we change in small, incremental, intentional ways, that's always going to be a good thing. Now, in industry, the concept of small incremental changes is called continual process improvement. It's popularized in the United States and brought here from Japan after World War II by William Edwards Deming. And he went to Japan to find out how they were making higher quality products than American industry. And he discovered the reason was because they were continually looking at how to improve their manufacturing processes to build higher quality products. So they were always trying to get better, so growing and changing to accomplish that. Interestingly, they often asked the workers who actually built the products for their input, and lo and behold, two things no doubt happened. One, they got good ideas because the people doing it know what they could do better and differently. And two, and maybe even more importantly, they got worker buy-in to the changes. And we can see how that concept will apply to raising kids, right? Okay, but sometimes small isn't enough. Sometimes small changes keeps us going in circles, and each change just moves us on another loop on the Ferris wheel. That's when we need big change. That's really when we need to look at where we're caught up. What is fundamentally wrong with our thinking or our behavior that we need to do to make a big shift? Once we've made a big shift, getting a big change to work will require ongoing small incremental changes. Make sense? So we're always making small changes, except if we need to lead off with a big change and follow it with small change. If we want to think of big changes or a big shift, let's think of the New Deal of the 1930s. And that was put out to lift the country out of suffering and depression. And let's think of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. That's big. Obviously, neither one of those things solves everything, but at least now we know where we're going, and now we can make lots of incremental changes to improve on those situations. Boy, is it timely to be thinking about that. But if we look at big change when we haven't taken the time to try small, sensible improvements, we'll still have the same problems after the big change. I like to think of the song Luckenbach, Texas by Waylon Jennings, where he says, "Let's move to Luckenbach, Texas, with Willie and Waylon and the boys. 'Cause the successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys." Well, I'll bet anything, they get themselves to Luckenbach and find themselves feuding just like they did in their previous lives. I do love the song, though. It's just that if they want to find ways to get along in their successful lives, they could do that if they wanted, or they could move to Texas. And I don't think moving to Texas is going to solve anything. Another example would be getting divorced and marrying someone else as a way to solve problems without taking the time to understand and take the small important steps to solve problems within a marriage. All right, well, you get the idea. So once again, what's the right kind of change? We should always be growing and changing for the better, so small improvements should be built into our basic lifestyle. But when small steps are leading us in circles, we need a big change or a big shift. If, on the other hand, we make a big change without having tried to improve things incrementally, we're likely to encounter the same problems after the big change as well. Well, now let's get back to our questioner. Marissa, if small changes alone were going to do it, you'd be on your way and not be writing me. So we need to go big. We need the big shift. Once we do the big shift, then we can keep it going with small incremental changes or continual process improvement. And when we do, we can include the kids in deciding on some of the small changes. The basic shift we have to make here, Marissa, is for you to stop trying to corral the boys into behaving and cooperating. You are carrying too much of the responsibility. Both your ADHD 10-year-old and your 8-year-old are fully capable of cooperating. You need to know that and have complete faith in that. If your 10-year-old needs support and structure to be able to function up to his potential, fine. We can offer that. But us trying to support him and him not caring and only resisting will never work. If he were getting sent home from school every day for non-cooperation, you would have told me that. So let's know that he can cooperate when he chooses to, and right now he isn't choosing to. And that big shift we need to make is you need to try less and the kids need to try more. So how are you going to make the big shift? Well, here's my idea. You and your husband, after he recovers from his shift, will implement a big shift with both talk and action. You'll sit down with the kids and explain what's been going on. You'll start with explaining how much you love them and believe in them. In specific terms, identify their really great qualities, whether it's sports, art, music, kindness, industriousness, reading, math, creativity, humor, all of it, whatever applies to them. Then apologize for the arguing and fighting with them that you've accidentally been encouraging them to fight and argue by fighting and arguing with them. Then let them know that the behaviors that need to change and the attitudes that you expect and the attitudes you will no longer accept. And let them know the privileges that they need to earn and make it clear that they no longer have those until they earn them. Now, privileges for this group generally includes things like electronics, TV, videos, things like going out for ice cream or taking them to the skateboard park. Now, I don't know your kids, but I'm sure they'll have their own ideas about why things don't work and why it's all your fault, but take their objections and rather than arguing, use what they're saying to shape the policies that you will all have mutual understanding on. For instance, let's just say your 10-year-old says that when you tell him to come set the table, he says just a minute, and then you yell at him to do it now. Well, during this talk, he complains that he can't just stop doing what he's doing and do what you want because he needs more time to finish up. So you agree that in the future, you'll tell him 10 minutes before you want him to set the table, and then a reminder 2 minutes before. And then if he doesn't come and do it, well, then he's in default. Make sense? And now you're including him in the solution. You'll tell him, good idea. Let's do that. Now, as far as dad doing activities with the kid, let's keep it up. But dad, you'll now need to make sure that the kids are doing what they're supposed to do prior. If there are issues like that need to be accounted for, make sure they're attended to, whether it's straightening rooms or getting things picked up. And if there's been any rudeness to mom, they need to make apologies before we go out and get going on things and have a fun time out there. And what was the big shift or the big change we made? Well, you just changed from trying to figure out what you need to do to get the kids to behave and cooperate to knowing the kids have everything they need to cooperate and you're simply letting them be responsible for their own behavior. So, Marissa, after the big shift, now it needs to be followed up by small incremental changes and improvements. Some of what you'll put in place will be unrealistic and need refining, and some things will need to be made clearer. And both boys are growing, and so, you know, they're quickly going to be in a different place, and then you'll need changes to make keep up with their development. In all cases, we want kids who know and accept that their best is expected of them, and cooperation and respect are required. That's how they earn their privileges. I do need to add, that you are going to have to take a look at whatever might be driving you to do too much for others. Be sure to put me time in there for yourself and ongoing support with alarm bells for doing too much and not expecting enough of others. So listeners, let's all learn from Marissa and ask ourselves, are we struggling way too hard to make things work? Are we trying lots of things only to feel like we're chasing our tails? If that's the case, it's time to take a look at the bigger picture and make a big change. But don't stop there. In order for those bigger changes to work, we need to follow them up with small, ongoing improvements. Let's take a play out of industry's playbook and think of continual process improvement. Once you've established that responsibilities and cooperative, respectful attitudes are the new normal, you can let your kids weigh in on the changes too. They will have some great ideas, and you'll get more of their buy-in too. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, listeners, and thanks to Marissa from Seattle for bringing up this inspiring topic. And please feel free to come to my website at neildbrown.com and sign up for my weekly newsletter, where there are plenty of helpful things and plenty more in the pipeline. And if you haven't already done so, grab a copy of my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle. Many readers have told me it is the least expensive, best counseling session they ever had. And if you're enjoying my podcast, I'd love it if you'd go to my iTunes site at Healthy Family Connections and leave a review there for me. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.